This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Everybody, welcome back to Pagan's Witchy Corner. My name is Pagan, and today I am joined by a dear old friend who I have had on the show a couple of times. You all know him, you love him, and that is Storm Fairywolf. Storm, welcome back to the show again.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's always a blast.
It is always so much fun having you here, and it's been a minute since we last talked. I don't even remember the last time we talked. It was, what, last fall?
I'm terrible with linear time.
I am too. So. I want to say it was might have been last summer, actually, because it was right before Satyr's Kiss came out, I think.
Okay, and yeah. Satyr's Kiss came out in May.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been a while. Oh, last year. Wow, that's been a really long time. It didn't seem like it was that long. And I was like, wow, okay, all right. So it has been quite a while. What is new? How is life? You know, do you got any crazy things happening on the horizon that we should chat about?
You know, I've been, it's weird. I've both been taking it easy and, of course, you know, plotting.
Of course.
We often do, you know. But honestly, just taking care of our home business, you know, we have our website, datouratrading.com, shameless plug, where we sell a lot of our art and magical supplies and stuff like that. So I've been focusing mostly on that. And of course, Modern Witch University, that takes up most of my time, you know, running that and everything. I have a couple of writing projects that are on the back burner. They're kind of not official yet, so I'm not ready to.
That's really totally fair. Are.
And I'm not, I haven't proposed them yet.
That's so even better. Okay.
Which is nice because I have a love-hate relationship with deadlines.
Of course.
I'm basically the person that bumper sticker was created for. If it wasn't for deadlines, nothing would get done, you know, and that's true. But I also don't want the stress of it. So I'm trying to like meet myself halfway. I figured if I can write a manuscript and then pitch it, and then it'll be easy to like edit and change it, you know, depending on what the vision team wants and, you know, whatever. But I don't want to like, after my last experience a couple of years ago, writing two books at the same time, you know, that was a lot. That was a lot. And I'm sure there's other people out there that can do it without batting an eye. That is not me. It took everything out of me. I will admit it. It was a lot. I'm glad it's done. I'm glad I did it. And I'd like to take it a little easier now for at least a little while longer, if that's possible. So, but yeah, some things on the back burner, and hopefully I'll have something to announce fairly soon. I will say this, I am working on a class/book. It doesn't have a title yet, but it is about working with energy from a witch's perspective. So I'm looking at energy work, whether that's for healing or other types, you know, for spell work, but from a witch's perspective, because usually what we get is, oh, go over here to this tradition and look at this, whether that's like Qigong, you know, or Reiki, or any of the, you know, systems that work with energy. But I would like something that was completely within much more of a witchcraft aesthetic.
Oh, that'll be neat.
And so, yeah, so I'm trying to work on that, you know, obviously making comparisons to other cultures without mining those other cultures, you know, for their information. But I do think we need to have some sort of like reflective compare contrast thing going on, but definitely something like a manual of working, you know, so working with the aura, working with, you know, hands-on healing, projecting energy, receiving energy, that type of thing. So
I think that sounds cool. That sounds really cool. And I think that would be something very unique as well, that, you know, there's a lot of books out there on energy work and, you know, how to do that. But I think having kind of that, you know, very centralized witchcraft perspective is going to be really unique and really awesome. So I look forward to that.
Thank you. I think especially because a lot of, at least in my experience, you know, and I've worked in the occult industry, the metaphysical industry, for more years than I care to count right now. And so, yeah, but usually the stuff that's out there in that genre is very much in line with like the culture of what we might call, quote, a light worker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know, I don't want to get down on a whole culture, but a lot of the shadow, I will say, of the light worker community, you know, really is rooted in what I perceive as a toxic positivity. And I want to combat that, you know.
I think that's also very awesome. We actually just had, in my coven, we just had a whole like meeting about, you know, the toxic positivity and, you know, why that's not really the best approach and all that. Like, we had a whole like night about it and talking about that. So I think that's really cool. And I'm glad that that is something that I do think that that should be brought up. Not, of course, we're not ragging on that. We're just stating that there is two sides to every coin that should be addressed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Nothing against, you know, light workers. You know, I know some people from, and again, is it actually a community, you know, the light worker community? Maybe. But within that, you know, there's a lot of really good people and a lot of really good ideas. I'm just looking at when people take things to the extreme, mm-hmm. you know, and really that's anywhere. I mean, we find witchcraft extremists.
Yes.
You know, trust me, I come from a tradition that, you know, is full of extremists, you know? And so, you know, it's, you know, it can be a little bit much. We need to kind of take a step back, you know, from our dogma and what are we really trying to achieve here? You know, yes. We're all on this rock together. You know, so I'm not trying to alienate anyone. I'm just trying to maybe provide a different narrative.
Yeah.
You know,
bring a new perspective.
This type of work. Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. And again, like the toxic positivity thing. I mean, I'm not saying don't be positive. I mean, one of my big role models in life is Mr. Rogers. Aww. You know, he was so awesome. Yeah, but he didn't have toxic positivity. He had a good positivity. It was just a positive outlook on life, rooted in compassion and kindness. I think those are wonderful things that we should use as sort of a moral compass, an ethical compass. Mm-hmm. But when we just deny the shadow, all we're doing is letting it have power. We allow it to consume us from the inside. And so that's why I think shadow work is so important, and why I think witchcraft is so important to the people who are drawn to it, because it gives us an opportunity to do that shadow work, not in the sense that we're just wallowing in it, but we're plumbing the depths. You know, we go like spiritual spelunking, if you will, you know, to go and see, you know, where our power lies, because it lies, you know, often in our fears and the things that we deny ourselves, you know, and so we need that balance. And so hopefully this work will be able to do that. But I'm writing it first as a class for Modern Witch University. And then, but now that I've been working on it for a while, it feels like, oh, this could actually be a book.
I think so, it could be a book. I will be the first to admit that I would buy said book. So, oh,
well, thank you.
You know, that's if exciting. You need a little nudge to be like, hey, you have at least one fan that will buy it, that would be me.
Oh my gosh! Well, thank you. Well, then when I get into a better place, I'll hit you up on Discord and see if maybe you'd be like a test reader for me.
Absolutely, I would love that so much, and that thank would be you. So great. So yes, I think that you should totally write that book, but you know, when you do the class, I think the class is going to be equally as beneficial, because we all need to look into all the aspects that make us who we are, and that includes light and dark and everything in between. So I think that that's going to be a really awesome thing that you're doing. And I am excited for you. Oh my gosh, that's going to be so cool. But all the stuff you do is cool. So.
Oh, thank you. I feel like you're biased now, but
I might be just a little bit, but that's because I know you. So, hey, that's okay. But
I,
you know,
really appreciate it.
I've read so many of your books. I love your books. I love all of the stuff. And here is the shameless plug that everyone listens to for the episodes. Go buy all of Storm's books. All of them. All of
thank
them.
You. Yeah.
They're so
and
good.
Here's my shameless plug. You can go to my website at fairywolf.com/books and there they all there. And you can get them signed by me if you're so inclined. And I also give links if you want to get them on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
That's a good place to do it. And all the links will be in the show description.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So
thank you.
It is Pride Month, and I would say this has probably been the one of the most difficult prides in quite a while, at least from my perspective. It's been a very rough one with all the terrible legislation that has come out. And I wanted to do a pride episode, obviously, but at the same time, I wanted to do something that kind of also empowers us. And in past, you had led this beautiful meditation, and everybody who listens to the show knows that I also lead meditations on the show, but I never ask somebody else to do it. And so that's why I kind of wanted you to come by, is I want us to have kind of some time to connect with individuals from the past and who have power and who can also help us gain some more power and perspective during this Pride Month. And you led a beautiful thing that was connecting with the honored dead, and I would love for you to lead us in one of those today, if you'd be so inclined.
Thank you. Yeah. So, of course, you just asked me to do this right before we started the show, and
I'm so sorry.
that's totally fine. I'm just putting it out there because I'm like, I'm just gonna do it on the fly.
Just That's what I usually
do. I'm just gonna do it. But I want to give a little bit of preamble.
Yes,
just to give some context. So in, again, shameless plug, in my latest book, The Satyr's Kiss, which seems like a perfect thing to talk about for Pride Month.
Exactly. Also fantastic book, just saying.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. A lot of positive energy. but yeah, so that book is really about kind of witchcraft in a queer space, specifically for queer men, but again, hopefully anyone can get something, you know, out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in that book, I coined the phrase the rainbow dead. And that's something that really speaks to me in terms of, you know, the queer ancestors. You know, who are these queer ancestors, or in some cases the forgotten ancestors? And one of the things that I did in that book was to expand beyond just witchcraft history and to look more deeply into queer history, because I see queerness as an emergent culture. You know, we obviously we draw from many different cultures from all over the world, in fact. But we also have this emergent queer culture, you know, that binds us all together. Mm-hmm. And so in that vein, you know, looking at, you know, the queers who have gone before us, that the ancestors who through their struggles made our lives just a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's so important to look at that, because, you know, it's so easy just to look at our own personal struggles in our own small frame of life and think, you know, that this is all there is, or it's always been this way. And it's been, you know, as terrible as it is right now for those of us in the United States, especially, but also, I mean, not even especially, you look all over the world, like look what's mm-hmm. going on in Uganda, you know, right now, which of course is exported from the United States. Thank you very much. All of the horrible stuff.
All happening. The horrible things that are happening across the world, I think you could blame on the United States some way, shape, or form.
We are the American Empire. I mean, we don't like to use that term, but we have all these holdings all over the world,
yeah.
And we've exported religion. You know, hardcore radical Christianity is a huge political export, you know, from the United States. And again, places like Uganda are suffering because of it. You know, they have the death penalty for homosexuality. And, you know, before colonialism, that wasn't true. In many places, many countries, many cultures revered queer people as these spiritual intermediaries. And yet that was lost and, you know, that was wiped out with colonialism. And so there's all these places now, you know, that used to have a vibrant, rich history of queer people as spiritual officiants who now condemn homosexuality. And they've basically just bought into this colonial idea that this is just how it's always been, you know, when really this is white people who have corrupted, you know, these other cultures into thinking that homosexuality is wrong and, you know, all this stuff. So it's pretty terrible, but it's also pretty scary in the United States.
Yes.
Because we have actually had so many strides and victories over the past, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. you know, and now we're in a place where it feels like all of that can be taken away from us just by a single Supreme Court decision.
Right.
And I'm not saying this to be an alarmist, although sometimes we need an alarm to wake us up.
Yes.
And yeah, so right now it feels pretty scary because there's been a lot of backlash. I mean, yes, you mentioned all the legislation. Record numbers of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation have been introduced, and it's been signed into law in many places. Mm-hmm. Look at Florida, look at Texas, and other of the southern states are following suit. It is tremendously scary. You know, this is also in the wake of the fall of Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
So we really are seeing something here in this country, you know, that is akin to a theocratical takeover. And I don't think that I'm being, you know, an alarmist when I say
you're not.
This has echoes of, you know, what was it, 1979, the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
Yeah.
You know,
and also has a lot of ties to, I would say, Nazi Germany during the 40s.
Yeah.
30,
although you 20s say
through
that
the 40s, but yeah.
Yeah. You say that and immediately people shut down. They're like, oh, they're comparing them to Nazis, whatever. I mean, you know, if the sea
kind
of
shoe fits.
You know, come on. I mean, we all saw the insurrection.
Yeah.
I almost said resurrection.
Wrong erection.
That's what we should be talking about at Pride Month.
Yes.
Damn it. But no. And then I feel like this sounds so silly, but I feel like everything kind of came to a cultural head with the Bud Light fiasco.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I'm not calling it a fiasco because of anything that Bud Light did, you know, whatever. I mean, they just did a nice thing.
Oh, it's
you know,
so
but
funny
then
that.
All of these conservatives just got their knickers in a bunch over it. And it's so funny to me that these are the people calling us snowflakes. Really? I'm like.
And it's so funny how they're blocking so many, like they're boycotting so many different businesses now because they never realized that they all had pride stances. And they
right,
have
exactly.
always had a pride
and that
stance.
Leads us in, that leads us into the thing with Target. You know, and so, you know, Target over the last several years has been more and more visible about, mm-hmm. You know, visibly showing pride. I want to be careful in how I word it because I also think it's really just rainbow capitalism.
It is rainbow
you know,
capitalism.
It's not like,
yeah.
It's not like Target actually cares. I mean, if they actually care, they wouldn't also give to conservative, you know, politicians and all this stuff, but they all give to everybody. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
They're hedging their bets. So that you don't actually stand for anything, you know, but at least they had this visible stuff. You'd go into Target and it was usually towards the front of the store, their pride display. Well, then it became, you know, kind of the national Karen's pastime to go into Targets and film yourself, like knocking over a pride display. We saw all that stuff on social media and it just really escalated into threats of violence. And we know what threats of violence from the right amount to
yeah.
amounts to actual violence. I
it
mean,
does.
Come on. I grew up in the era where there was abortion clinic bombings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here are people ostensibly calling themselves Christian. You know, and the last I checked, one of their commandments is thou shalt not kill. And yet there's always a loophole. You know, there's always some reason why they feel like they should do it. You know, when they feel that they're religious and they're spiritual and they're right, somehow in their mind it gives them the right to not even follow their own religious teachings, you know. And so we know how that goes. You know, the religious right, the political right are scary. They
mm-hmm.
will do this, you know. And so on one level I kind of understand, you know, Target's recent decision to pull things from their shop or also to, you know, put things in the back of the store. I don't agree with it. I do understand it on one level. Ultimately, I kind of feel like if I was in charge, you know, maybe what I would have done is just hired security, you know, to instead of pulling the displays and putting them in the back of the store, maybe just hire a couple security guards to be there to, you know, stop people from acting foolish.
I would say that would be one aspect of that. But, you know, looking at the, you know, capitalistic stuff behind all of that, they don't like to really pay their employees a livable wage most times.
Well, exactly.
So why would they hire somebody else? Yeah.
Exactly. That's why it's rainbow capitalism. It wasn't actually a political stance. It wasn't actually a declaration of their values. It was an attempt at a money grab. Oh, these queers have money too. And we can get their money. We just slap a rainbow on it, right? So anyway, all of this is just to kind of set the stage. But in The Satyr's Kiss, I talk about what I call the rainbow dead. And these are just the queer people who've gone before, who maybe didn't have any connection to the craft. But still, I feel as a practitioner of the craft, a queer practitioner of the craft, we should still honor these people as a form of the mighty dead. You know, these are the people who are the martyrs, who are the heroes, who made differences. You know, people like Alan Turing, you know, who's, you know, basically the father of modern computing, you know, and he helped break, you know, Nazi codes that enabled, you know, us to actually win World War II. And then right after the war, he's put on trial for homosexuality, and he's chemically castrated as a result. And he ends up committing suicide. And, you know, so he's a queer martyr, you know, and so I think that by focusing on these people, it gives us a sense of history. It gives us a sense of collective pride, you know, knowing that there's been a lot of queer people who have made a lot of differences, not just to the queer community, but to the world. And as witches, as warlocks, whatever, we should be able to tap into that, because I think that for queer people, we should be at least encouraged to center our queer experiences in our craft. You know, we shouldn't be a witch first and a queer person second. You know, these are all front and center. We need to be fully who we are in order to really reap the benefits of a spiritual path. So I think working with the rainbow dead, you know, is something that each of us can do to better give us a sense of place within the queer community, within the witchcraft community, within the community of human beings who are compassionate and want to evolve, you know. So that's kind of my preamble for doing the meditation.
It's a beautiful preamble. And I love that there's so many. And I think that, well, yes, also partially rant, but I think also because of the political climate, you can't help but not rant as somebody who's in the queer community, because honestly, we have rights to rant. So everything was
going on. Yeah, we need to.
If
it could all be taken away. And I don't, again, I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, we should be scared. Although maybe if that motivates us, you know, we can't be complacent. And I will say, I think that for many years, a lot of queer people, myself included, have been complacent, because it just feels like, oh, we did that work. And now we've come to this level and we've achieved. And none of us thought that things would slide backwards.
Of course not.
And yet here we are. You know, I grew up with people telling me, oh, this happened in other countries, but that would never happen here. That could never happen here. And it's happening right now. You know, it's like, I feel like we're all living in that collective meme, you know, the little dog and the burning.
Everything is
shop.
Fine.
This is fine. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what? I just want to say, it's not fine. This is not okay. You know, and we can get through it. And when we do, we will be stronger because of it. But we can't just wait for it to resolve on its own. We all have to show up in some form. And I do think that connecting with our ancestors and getting that sense of history and foundation can be one bit of our own foundation of helping us to feel stronger and more capable, you know, of showing up in the here and now, knowing that we have this army of rainbow ancestors behind us. And one day we will be the rainbow dead. And, you know, hopefully our legacy will be that we helped make the world just a little bit better, even if that's just being who you are unapologetically.
Absolutely.
And I don't say that as like a small thing either. You know, that's probably the biggest thing any of us can do. The biggest political statement we can make is to simply live our lives authentically and to refuse to be silenced.
Yes. Yes. Do all of those things, because honestly, also, life's too short not to be who you are. Like, it's just, the world is too dark and too scary to not be who you want to be. And honestly, fuck it. Just be who you want to be. It doesn't matter.
And also, I feel like another thing is everybody thinks they've got so much time.
No, you don't.
You know what? You don't.
You don't.
It's, you know, it's later than you think. You know, that's just, you know, and that's part of the wisdom, I guess, that I don't know. I just came into hitting my 50s. You know, it's like, wow. You know, all the other ages didn't really affect me so much. You know, whatever, mm-hmm. but 50 kind of did, because it just seems like, well, there's no denying it, you know, getting older. And it doesn't seem like that long.
No,
you know, I still feel like a kid on the inside, you know, until I crouch down. And
until you crouch down, the knees go crack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh gosh. Every time I move, crack, 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 you know, but on the inside, you know, I still feel like a kid. So it's like, wow, this was quick.
Yeah.
You know, that whole time speeds up as you get older. So I have a little bit of a different perspective. So I do want to say it's later than you think, you know, and, you know, not to, you know, freak anybody out, but if anybody out there listening is waiting for a sign, should I start this now or should I wait? Do it now.
Yes.
Do it now.
We
need everyone to show up.
We need everybody to show up. We need everybody to, you know, and before we, you know, get into the meditative part of aspect of this, I will say one thing before we do that. It's exhausting, and I get it. And everybody understands how exhausting the fight is to continue to try to just have the will to continue going, to, you know, do all the things that you want to do, but also have the rights to do them in a country that's trying to actively take them away. It's an exhausting fight. But we see
Absolutely.
It. And the one thing I will say is, you know, after reading Satyr's Kiss and adapting some of the rituals in it that to fit my lifestyle, obviously because I'm not a queer man, but I am part of the queer community, just on the female aspect of that. But you know, adapting some of those rituals and working with the Rainbow Dead, and I call them the Honored Dead because I feel like they deserve the honor that they got. Working with them, sometimes just asking them for strength is like the biggest thing when it comes to be like, it's going to be a hard day that I got to fight through all this just to have an existence. And you'd be surprised how often they show up and they are right there. And they're like, I got you, boo. I got you. And it's like, okay, let's go do this. And they do. And that's why I was so, when I thought about doing a Pride episode, that you were the first person to come to mind, because that was the biggest thing, especially after all of the terrible things, especially living in Tennessee. And Tennessee is an awful place. And when the drag ban first came out, it was like, oh, well, crap, this is the first stepping stone to everything that's going to go wrong. Luckily, it's been repealed and deemed unconstitutional, but it was a fight. It was one of those things of saying, yeah, I have to get up. I have to do this. I have to fight. And being somebody who's chronically ill and also doesn't like to do that on a, you know, normal day, it's like, well, I still have to anyway, because if not me, then who?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, asking the Honored Dead for help was a huge boon in my spiritual batterment, I guess you could say, that allowed me to be like, yeah, I got this. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not somebody that's able to actually go out and protest because of my chronic illness, but I can protest with witchcraft.
Absolutely. You know, and I think everybody needs to show up in their own way. You know, this isn't to say that everybody needs to be out there on the front lines and super visible. You know, depending on where you are, it might not be safe.
Yeah.
You know, for you. And so I'm not here to judge people who don't feel comfortable doing that. I mean, sometimes it is about, you know, going, you know, beyond your comfort zone at times, but you have to really assess that. Like, is this safe? You know, you might be in a state in which, if you are out and visible and living authentically, you might now have a target on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe your family also will have a target on your back. You know, I'm sorry, these people are unwell, you know, who are targeting us.
Yeah.
And we're always hearing about, I mean, hate crimes against the LGBTQ+ community have skyrocketed in the last couple of years.
Oh gosh, yes.
And it's really, and part of this is because, you know, politicians put out this hateful rhetoric, and words matter. You know, we tell ourselves, oh, sticks and stones, you know, whatever, you know, words can never hurt me. Yeah, that's fine for if you're six on the playground, you know, but the rules change, you know, as adults. Words can hurt because they start that ripple effect. And where it just starts as words, we've seen where that goes. It leads to violence. It's happening right now. This isn't theoretical. You know, this is absolutely true. This is absolutely happening. Words matter, especially from our leadership. And that's why we need our leaders, honestly, to some degree, we need them to be the best of us. And that is not who's showing up. You know,
no. No, it's not.
You know? And, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm not, I don't know. I don't 100% agree with any party, any political party. But in the United States, we have two major political parties, and I'm obviously siding with one of them because that's the party that's not trying to kill us.
Right. They're not the best party, but they are the party that is not trying to actively harm us.
Yeah, exactly. And so I would like, the Democrats, I would like that to change. The Democrats are nowhere near as liberal as I would like them to be. And yet the right is saying, oh, they're radical leftists. Oh, honey, please. We don't have radical leftists.
I don't think the right has ever seen a radical leftist ever.
They would just freak out. I mean, they're freaking out now when it's like slightly left, when something is slightly left of center, they label it as, you know, leftist extreme. We do not have a viable leftist party in the United States.
No.
We do not. The closest we have is the Democrats, and they're pretty central. In fact, they're way more right than I would like them to be. And yet they still do at times embody these values, at least on the surface, you know, of progressiveness. And so that's what we have to latch onto until there's another viable political party that, you know, again, is viable, you know, something that can actually, you know, actually work. You know, I was registered Green Party for a long time. I would like to see more Green Party candidates at the state and local levels first, you know, kind of building up their power instead of just entering the presidential race, because really without the momentum of a movement behind them, that's not going to work.
No, it never works.
They just become spoiler candidates, you know, and, you know, I might agree with them more than I do with the Democrats, but I also know they're not going to get it because they don't have that momentum behind them. So I don't know what the answer is. Another political party, maybe we need to occupy Democrats, you know, like take them over, you know, whatever. I mean, the Republican Party got taken over, you know, they were always bad, but now they're like seethingly worse.
Oof, they're scary. You know? I will.
They're very scary.
They are very, very scary.
Remember when it was easy to make fun of them, though? It was like, oh, that's the Tea Party. Remember when the Tea Party now the Tea Party took over the Republicans, and that's what they are, and they're like a shade away from building more concentration camps. This is not rhetoric.
No, you know, if you listen to some of the things that some of them have said, it's that close already, and it's really terrifying. It's like, how are you getting away with saying that in 2023? Like, shouldn't there be a law against them? I guess not, but you know, here we are. But I think anyway, it's one of those things that it's so important to understand all the aspects of that and also know what you're fighting for. And this is a big aspect of it. But
Part of that, it's, I think that scaling, you know, not scaling back, but circling back to what we were saying about the ancestors, this can give us strength because maybe you're the only person you know who's queer, you know, in your family, in your town, you know, but even if you feel you're alone, you have this army behind you just waiting for you to call out to them, you know, by name or not, you know, and there's, you know, I include some names, you know, in my book, The Satyr's Kiss, you know, but I would encourage people to really, you know, look at queer history and really kind of look at that through the eyes of a witch, of a warlock, of a spiritual person, you know, who is looking at these people not just as disconnected historical footnotes, but as real living presences that we can still tap into and learn from and feel empowered by. And then maybe that will help us not feel quite so alone. and maybe a little bit more empowered to do the work that we feel that we need to do, you know? So,
yes.
So, yeah.
So I will say one last thing and then I will let you jump right into this. The one thing that really kind of, as you were talking about that, really sparked in my mind was Najah Lightfoot put in her newest book.
I love her.
I think the book is Powerful Juju. Yes, because the first one is Good Juju. She wrote about, I don't remember the full name, but I know her name was Frida. And so you can read the book. There's a whole episode in the history of the show that you can go back and listen to it. But she wrote about somebody who was just this common person's wife and who went through a lot of struggles and ended up kind of almost descending into this goddess aspect the way that Najah wrote her. And I think that some of the honored dead and the rainbow dead are the same way. They went through a lot of struggles, but I think that we can also give them enough energy that they can almost descend to that, I don't want to say full godlike status, but I guess spiritual warrior aspect. But I think that that's something that is so cool. And the way that she wrote it, I love it. It's beautiful. And I never had thought about that when it came to ancestral spirits. But now I see all ancestral spirits that way. And I think it is the coolest thing. And she is such a wonderful human. Also, check out her book, everyone. Anyway, that is my last side note.
She is delightful. And really quick to that, I want to say that just reminds me of something that my friend, the late Eddie Gutierrez, had said in terms of the ancestors. And often we'll say, RIP, you know, rest in peace. You know, and he now famously said, they do not rest in peace. You know, talking about the queer ancestors, they do not rest in peace. They rise in power.
Oh, that is so precious and awesome. Oh, wow. I think that's
so important to recognize that, like, you know, on Earth, they're, you know, maybe their work had just begun, you know, by creating what many people might see as just a historical footnote, you know, but that is ripples, and that ripple effect grows every time that we tap into it, every time that we read their stories, every time we hear their names. You know, it reminds us that on some level they're with us and they're rooting us on, you know, they are trying to help empower us to keep that momentum going. And at times it feels like an uphill battle, but that's the battle we need to do. We need to wage that battle, you know, for the next generation. You know, one day we will be the ancestors.
Yes.
And hopefully our legacy will be, we stood up to the oppression and said no more. You know, this is the line, and we will not allow you to cross. We will not allow that. We will not go backward. You know,
so. I love that so much. Rise in power. That is honestly, I think that anybody who passes, they shouldn't rest in peace. I think they should rise in power. Yes, that should be the new phrase from here on out.
Maybe rest a little bit. We all need to rest sometimes.
I mean,
but
yeah.
step back up. In my experiences, they will show up, you know, if we sincerely call to them, and they can inspire us. They can give us that strength to move on, you know, to move forward, to keep, you know, fighting the good fight.
I love that. Well, let's go ahead and dive into that. And everybody who's listening, the way I'm going to set up this podcast is this is going to be a two-parter show, obviously, because I knew that Storm and I were going to talk and I didn't want to distract you from your meditation. So if you are here for the meditation, go to part two in this moment. If you'd like to finish out this episode, the way you will hear it is we will take a short little pause and then you'll hear us close out in the end, and then part two will take place there. But it will be a two-part episode, so make sure you go listen to part two. And without further ado, I pass the mic to you.
Thank you. So just an off-the-cuff meditation on the Rainbow Dead, the queer ancestors. I'll lead us through a little bit of a relaxation, and then we'll see what happens. At some point, I'm actually going to read a poem that I wrote for my first book, The Stars Within the Earth, called The Forgotten Ancestors. And this will kind of set the stage for whatever personal experience, you know, we are to have, you know,
with
these ancestors. Because, of course, there's so many. I'm not going to name any specific ones. We're just opening up to whoever might want to show up.
Yes.
In this moment.
Go ahead and head to part two if you'd like to listen to the meditation, or you can finish out this episode. That was exquisite, as always.
Thank you.
And if you hadn't told me that you hadn't prepared, I would have never known. It was wonderful.
Well, I did get to recite a poem that I wrote many years ago, and a little bit I had written in The Satyr's Kiss, but yeah, it was basically off the cuff. So
it was beautiful.
Hopefully people got something out of that.
I definitely got something out of it. So I'm sure everyone else that listened to it did. Yes. So everybody who's listening, make sure you go and check out all of Storm's books. They are fantastic. There is a lot. I don't remember all the titles off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but there's a lot.
I have 8 books. The first 4 are self-published, and then the latest 4 were published through Llewellyn Worldwide. So I feel very, very lucky, very honored.
They are all wonderful books. The one that we have referenced quite a bit in this episode is The Satyr's Kiss. It is the most recent one that is out. You can check out all the links in the show description. There will also be a link to Storm's website where you can go and check out classes, the store. Everything should be listed there. And Storm, thank you again for being here, because I always love having you by the show, but this was an extra treat just having you here for this.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me back. I always have a wonderful time. It's always so many good positive vibes. And so I really thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, everyone who's listening, thank you also for listening to us, and also for listening to part 2 of the meditation / chatting episode about Pride. And happy Pride. Take care of yourselves. Be kind to each other. And I'll see you all next time. Bye, everyone. If you're a lover of Pig and Switchy Corner, then prepare for some really exciting news. I have started a new podcast, Pagan's Reading Nook. Don't worry, I'm still going to be creating all the Pig and Switchy Corner content that you all love. But as you all know, I have a huge passion and love of books, which has led me to create this new show. On Pagan's Reading Nook, I will be discussing the books that I'm reading, showcasing brand new titles, and sitting down with some amazing authors to talk about the worlds and the characters they've created. I will also be discussing new releases, fan favorites, and classic tales that have enchanted us throughout time. So, if you are a fan of this show, make sure you head over there and subscribe. And grab your favorite beverage and join me as we dive into harrowing tales, seductive romances, and thrilling adventures in the fiction world.